Thank you, John. Great to see everyone out this morning. Welcome any visitors that are with us this morning, as well as we have some possible visitors watching online this morning. I know Lydia and some of the crew up there, I think there's a snowstorm up there this morning or somewhat of a storm, so it's just great that we can be here this morning. We were just meeting with those to be baptized beforehand, and we were talking about being a little nervous. I think I'm just an absolute wreck myself this morning. So anyway, if we're a little shaky off the mark, bear with me, and we'll make our way through. We're in nearing the end of a series that we've been doing here at the chapel. And basically, it's about what we believe. What are some of the distinctives of the New Testament church that we stand for? And you know, some of those things are what we're doing here this morning: baptism. And baptism, not for salvation, not for a baby being baptized, but baptism after you've entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So baptism by immersion. And then some of the other distinctives we touched on was leadership. We're an elder-directed church, the plurality of leadership in our church. And obviously communion service. And this morning we want to look at the topic of fellowship in the body of Christ. Fellowship in the body of Christ. And, you know, the one of the exciting parts about church is the fellowship we can have one with another. A lot of people go to church all their lives and never engage in fellowship with fellow brothers and sisters. They're just not engaged. They show up, they slip out the back door, they're there once a week, just enough to kind of be connected. But the fellowship that the Bible talks about is a dynamic living relationships in the body. Now, there's many people been disillusioned with the church over the years. Oh, well, so-and-so is this, and so is that. Well, guess what? We all are in families, aren't we? We all have fathers and mothers and brothers and cousins and stuff. And sometimes, you know what? Well, pretty well in every family, there's messes, isn't there? There are struggles, there are dynamics that aren't always pretty, but it means we work through them and we stick with one another through those dynamics. And so this morning we want to look at this area. Now, as we begin, this little overhead has been patented by my son. If you want to use it, you'll have to talk to him, okay? All right, he's designed this one himself. But fellowship encompasses two aspects. This is what we're going to start with today, this is what we're going to end with today. There is the vertical aspect of fellowship. John touched on it already just before I came up, and we're going to touch on it here shortly, is that of there must be, the question has to be answered, am I in fellowship with God? That is the primary question of life. Do I have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Am I right with God? When I die, and we sang that song about going to heaven. When I die, do I know 100% for sure that I am going to heaven? So there is the dynamic of that vertical relationship. And without that vertical relationship, there is no horizontal relationship. You cannot have a relationship in the body of Christ with fellow believers unless you start with that relationship that you must have with Christ. We're going to read some verses in Acts chapter 2. Now, Acts chapter 2 is the time of the beginning of the church. The Old Testament ends in Malachi, and then this moves its way through the life of Christ in the Gospels, and we come to the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is the beginning of the local church. The Lord Jesus Christ has ascended up into heaven, and he said the Spirit of God is going to come, and the church age is going to begin. So we have, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words." And we're going to skip through some sections here, so it's on the overhead. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him, the Lord Jesus, to be held by it, death. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourself from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness, with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word, and let's just pause for a moment in prayer. Father in heaven, we just so thank you this morning that we can gather again to hear your word and to hear the wonderful message of the gospel, that, Father, you have loved us so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. We are so unworthy. We are so humbled as we're reminded again of his great sacrifice for us. And that, Father, in those three dark hours on the cross, he bore our sin. We thank you, Father, that he said, "It is finished." The work was complete. There was nothing to add to that. And we thank you this morning that we can truly know what fellowship with God is. So we just thank you for this day. We thank you for each one you've brought here. And we pray for these young people, Father, who are being baptized afterwards, that you would truly bless their lives for this step of obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. So the word fellowship, when you think of the word fellowship, it speaks of relationship, right? It speaks of an intimacy, a bond, a connection. You know, there's going to be some football games on today, and there's going to be, well, there'll be a few ladies maybe, but primarily men will be gathered around their TV, and you could say they are in fellowship, right? They have a bond. They are passionate about their team, and they come together to fellowship. Well, this morning, we want to proclaim that we are passionate about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, he is the one who brings us together into this living dynamic. And I just want to read a couple of verses here. We don't need to turn to them. In 1 John, and 1 John chapter 1, it says this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life," speaking of the coming of the Lord Jesus. "The life was made manifest," that's the incarnation, "we have seen it and testify it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." You know, if you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, God created the world, right? Then he created man and woman. He created them for fellowship, didn't he? And the garden, like, we can't imagine perfection, can we? We walk out into our world and we got our aches and pains. Well, there's the first sign that we struggle with perfection, right? Is just our health issues, our struggles that we have. And we see, and the workplace tells us that the world isn't perfect. And the stuff we have at home wears out. It's not a perfect world that we live in. But God created a perfect world. And he put a perfect man and a perfect woman. And he walked and fellowshipped with them in perfect harmony. They were in fellowship. God designed us to be in fellowship with him. But then there was a problem. There was a temptation, you could say. Well, that wasn't a temptation. God gave them a command: do not eat of the tree of life. Don't eat of that tree. You can't have it. Well, they were, you could say, Eve was enticed, and she took of the fruit of the tree. And she handed it to Adam, and he in turn did the same. And later that day, they just instantly knew at that point that their sin had separated them from God. Right at that point. Because a little later in the story, whether it was that day or not, God came down to walk in the cool of the day, and they just weren't out doing their normal thing. It says they hid themselves from the presence of God because they were ashamed, because their sin had now separated them from God. And you know, it says in Romans 5, in verse 12, for as by one man sin entered into the world. By one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. And ever since that moment in time, the Bible says there has been death by sin. The wages of sin is death. And so death passed upon all men. Right? Every person since then, except for Enoch and Elijah, every person since then has died. And of course, the Lord Jesus. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So now we have a problem. The Bible says that we are now enemies with God. Wow. God put Adam and Eve in the garden in perfect fellowship. But now because of sin, we are enemies with God. We have this natural rebellion just built into us that just makes us want to just resist God and his authority and his love for us and live the way we want to live. And you know, God from day one had a plan of redemption. It says that Adam and Eve knew they were naked. They didn't know that before they sinned. They were in perfect innocence. And it says that God gave them some fig leaves and clothed them. And thus became a picture of what was going to happen for the future. All of the Old Testament, we have the incredible pictures, don't we, of the lambs. And there was other animals as well that were used. But the lamb was the primary illustration that lamb would be sacrificed as an atonement to be right with God. And of course, that lamb would point for 4,000 years to the sacrificial lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, that would come to seek and to save that which was lost. Because you see, what happened was, instead of man and God being in fellowship, that fellowship was broken. Right? And like John already mentioned, there's God over here and man over here. And there's this great place in between where man cannot get to God. And in God's absolute love for us, what did he do? The cross is what bridges that gap from man to God, isn't it? It is the cross of Jesus Christ where he so willingly left the throne of heaven and came down to this earth and lived an absolutely perfect life. His life was sinless. In him, there was no sin. That's why we have to have the virgin birth, isn't it? Because Adam brought sin onto us all. But Jesus Christ would be made manifest and incarnated, and it would be perfect. He would be born of a virgin. Miraculous. Miraculous stuff. And you know, it would be there on that cross that he would bear my sin and your sin on his body. The suffering, the physical suffering was immense, but even greater so during those three dark hours when God poured out the wrath that I deserve on him. He bore my sin, it says. He took my place. And now we have the cross right there in the center of time. And we have man over here and God here reaching down. And what do we have to do? It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What the simplicity of the message is absolutely incredible, isn't it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Recognize that you cannot get from here over to here, but the cross has made that available and you now can come to God through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question this morning is, as we discuss this, the practical aspects of fellowship, have you entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you born again? Are you a new creation in Christ? Are you right with God? What a great place to be. What a great place to wake up in the morning every day and know, absolutely without a shadow of a doubt, that I am right with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. What incredible confidence we have. What incredible assurance. What incredible peace that we can have. And it's by nothing that we can do. What's it say in Ephesians 2 and verse 8? For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What a gift. Because what's the standard of good works that would be good enough to please God? I'm a pretty good guy. Well, what does that mean? Define that. Tell me exactly. How many good things do you have to do? How many times do you have to attend church? How much money do you have to give to be good enough? And it wouldn't be fair because the rich guy would have more to give than the poor guy, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be fair. But God has made salvation available to all, whosoever will, the message is for. So now Peter is proclaiming that message in the early stages of the church in Acts 2. And that day, there are many people who respond to that message. And then we come to this little passage right here that's up on the screen, Acts 2:42. And we're just going to focus on the first section here this morning. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. We're just going to talk about they devoted themselves to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. This is the horizontal aspect of fellowship. Now, we're going to look at this little wheel that's been around actually for many, many years through the navigators. This is a great little wheel. We're only going to focus on one little area here. But see, right in the center, this is the obedient Christian in action out on the hub. If you want to be an obedient Christian, this is what it looks like. Right in the center is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That is paramount. Everything cycles and flows around your relationship with him. You have prayer. How important it is that we pray. We have the word of God in our lives. We have the sharing of our faith. This morning, what we're looking at is fellowship. There's so many believers are not moving forward in their walk with Christ because they think they can just be kind of lightly attached or show up occasionally or flip on the odd audio or watch a little time on TV, and they do not devote themselves to the fellowship of the local church. That's what we want to talk about in these next few minutes. This is a unique dynamic dimension. And you know, its basis is not in football. It's not in crocheting. It's not in food. Now, those come as bonuses of the fellowship, right? Like those are kind of the gravy, you could say, of our interaction. And just because, you know, we're Christians and we love the Lord Jesus, when we get together, we don't talk about God all the time. right? I mean, sometimes we actually probably might not talk about them quite enough. But there's just lots of normal life that happens in the body of Christ. I like how the New English Bible puts the word fellowship. It says there, they devoted themselves to the common life. See, fellowship in Greek is the word common. The message paraphrase puts it this way. They devoted themselves to life together. They devoted themselves to life together. So the dynamic of the life we've entered into in Christ involves these new relationships. If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. All things are passed away. The old relationships that you had, a lot of those will pass away simply because now you have entered into this new entity called the body of Christ, okay? The living, dynamic body of Christ. And it's interesting what Webster's Dictionary, how it defines fellowship. Three areas: companionship, company, a unified body of people of equal rank, sharing in common interests, goals, and characteristics, and a partnership. So if we're going to grow, if we're going to truly grow, if you wanted to say, Dwight, how do I grow in my Christian faith? Young person, how do you grow in your Christian faith? Old person, how do you continue to grow in your Christian faith? Well, one of the parts is you've got to be engaged in the fellowship of God's people. You know, many choose to be isolated from the body of Christ. Someone ticks them off. Someone says something to them, bugs them. I'm not going back there because they hurt my feelings. Well, has your brother or sister ever hurt your feelings? Has your mother or father or child ever hurt your feelings? Doesn't change the relationship though, right? You got to work through it. Because in that dynamic, there should be reconciliation and forgiveness. We learn to be more like Christ even when we're challenged by un-Christ-like behavior, right? And so many people get disillusioned with church because they're looking at me or you, because I can say stuff about someone and say and it might not be very nice. And that's not right, and that's not godly. But while we're still on earth here, folks, our lives are still messy, right? We still say things, we think things, we bear grudges, we bear stuff in our hearts that keep us from truly fellowshipping. It says in Hebrews 10 and verse 24 and 25, what? That we're not to be the forsaking of our assembling together as the manner of some is. And in the light of the return of Christ and the fact that he could come back anytime, it says that we are to gather together even more often, and we are to provoke. Now, that's an interesting word, isn't it? When we think of the word provoke, that's like, man, you aggravated me, right? But we're to provoke one another onto what? Aggravation, frustration, onto love and to good works. We need to provoke our brothers and sisters onto love and to good works if we're going to truly grow spiritually. The little story I've heard from by Sven Christensen and others that have shared, and I think it probably came out of the camp scenario of the campfire, right? You got the campfire, and there's logs on the campfire, and you get the fire burning, right? And you put another log on. That could be a picture of a new believer. You bring a new log, and you put it on the fire, and the fire is burning. Maybe the fire is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And as the logs stay together, the fire keeps burning. But you take, Sven used to say, but you take a log off that fire and set it over here on the lawn and just leave it there. What happens? That log eventually loses its effectiveness, doesn't it? It just starts to fizzle and fizzle its way out. And that's the way it is with a lot of believers. They pull themselves away from the fellowship. Oh, I can live my life without those people. That one person said something to me and I can't forgive them. Well, isn't it interesting? Jesus forgave you of your worst stuff. So, and that log gets cold. And that log is often the sign of a Christian who's defeated in his Christian life because he doesn't know the power of the fellowship of believers in his life. And like I said, some, pardon the illustration, have been burnt by others in the local church, haven't they? But we must press on. We still need one another. Now, here's the little word we're going to focus on this morning. Devote. You devote. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. So the word here in the Greek, and I'm no Greek scholar, but you get lots of help online, is proskartio, let's say it is. So pros means toward. Kartio means show steadfast strength. So the believers in the book of Acts, they showed strength and determination toward their fellow brothers and sisters. That's not that complicated, is it, that big Greek word? It says here they continue to do something with intense effort, even though the word here speaks of showing strength in spite of difficulties. Even though there's struggles in the body, even though there's the rubbing together of people's personalities, it means that they continued on in the fellowship. They did not give up. They were persistent. Here's what it says in Ephesians 4 and verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That little word, effort, that's the word. It's like devote. It means in the ESV, be eager. Not to divide, not to criticize. Be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Another version says, be striving to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Are we zealous? Are we devoted? Are we eager? Are we striving for the fellowship, for one another? That's what we need, folks. If we're going to grow in our Christian existence, we need, and it doesn't mean about not missing a meeting. You're going to miss the odd meeting and you can't get to everything and all that kind of stuff. But it means consistently over a long period of time, you are engaged in the body of Christ. That could be a coffee at the coffee shop with a brother or sister. That could be having somebody over to your house. That could be just coming in here and meeting with some men for prayer on a Thursday morning. It could be a ladies' Bible study. But you need to be connected. You need to be engaged. You will not grow, my friend. You just will not grow out on your own. It's not how God built the system that way. It was his idea that we would need one another in order to continue on. There's a really neat little story of a lady, and she had a little Honda Civic, okay? And she had this grand idea that she was going to go up to the Northwest Territories in her little Honda Civic. So she's putting along with her little Honda Civic, and she gets up to one of the towns just below the Northwest Territories. True story, as far as I understand. And she pulls into a hotel for the night, and the next day she's going to really push through up into the Northwest Territories, up into the Yukon. So anyway, she wakes up in the morning, and the lady at the front desk like, wow, you're up early. Yeah, I'm going to drive up and through there. And she said, I don't think that's a good idea, dear. I don't think that little car is going to make it. Oh, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. So she sat down for breakfast, and it was these two big truckers. You know, you can kind of envision at a continental breakfast in a hotel, maybe. And they said, where are you going, dear? Oh, I'm going up to Northwest Territories. What, you driving today? Oh, a little Honda Civic. He said, you're not going anywhere. Oh, you think I'm not going? I'm going. Well, one of the big burly guys looked at her and said, well, you know what we're going to do? I'm going to give you a hug. She said, there's no way, mister, that you are going to give me a hug. There's no way you're hugging me. Anyway, he said, well, here's what we're going to do, dear. I'm not going to give you a hug like you're thinking. But I'm going to take my big tractor trailer 18-wheeler, and you're going to take your little Honda Civic behind that, and my friend's going to take his 18-wheeler, and we are going to hug you all the way through the mountain passes, all the way through the difficult parts that is going to take you to get there, and those bumpy roads, and if you go, and if your car stalls or needs help, we're going to be there for you, and we are going to bring you through to the end. Boy, that is some illustration, isn't it, of what we need to be for each other, isn't it? That should be the body of Christ. We've gone through some tough stuff here in the last few months, right? With people dying and stuff. And you know what we need to do? We need to hug one another through, right? And it's not always a physical hug. It could be a financial hug. It could be an emotional connection, a coffee, a reaching out. But just like those two truckers hugged that little Civic all the way up through to where the destination was, we need to do the same thing. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member suffers, all suffer together. And then lastly, there is the last aspect of fellowship is that of partnership. And I like this. I don't know if I have anything else. Well, we'll get to that in a second. A partnership. It says in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, we are laborers together with God. We are partnering together with God. Lord willing, next week we'll do more of that partnering and work through some of the ways we can partner with one another to do God's work. Here's another illustration. So there was a summer student that was working at a church, and his pastor that summer decided to work on a pipeline crew. And this is obviously a few years ago because it was manual digging, okay? And so the pastor was working on this pipeline crew, and he was given a shovel, and he said, now your job today is to cut a hole 6 feet long, 6 feet deep, and 3 feet wide. Just go to it. That's your job for today. So he started digging and digging and digging, and he got down deeper, and he finally got down to where he was 6 feet. The top of the earth was above his head, and he got it all cleaned up and nice and square, and he was done. Like, he just thought, this pipeline is like several hundred feet. It's got to go on for miles, right? This pipeline's got to go on for miles. It's a huge job, and I'm like, this is never going to get done. We're never going to accomplish this. So anyway, he got his section cleaned out, and he was at the end of the day, and he was pretty discouraged on day one. And then all of a sudden, it's hard to pay attention to both. All of a sudden, the wall between the area of the next guy that was digging fell down, because there was a whole row of people, say, for a mile, all digging their 6x3 spots, right? And the spot fell down, they cleaned out the dirt, and then what happened was, what did he do? He looked down that line of, say, 50 men and women who had dug their spot out, and all of a sudden he could see exactly, wow, look at all the work we've accomplished today. Isn't that incredible? And you know, sometimes in the body of Christ, we're plugging away in our ministry. Some are visible, some are quiet, some are writing cards to somebody. Nobody gets recognized much for that, do they? Some of it's cooking food in the kitchen to take to somebody who's sick and not well. There's lots of needs to be met in the local assembly that nobody sees. But guess what? When it's all said and done, we're co-laborers together with God, right? And that's just an amazing thing that you partner with God. You stick to the task that God has given you to accomplish. And it's his work, right? And he'll make it happen. And so, as we close here this morning, we just want to think of this one little verse in closing. So, dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. I think we have a little quote up here by Swindoll to close. Nobody is a whole chain. Each one is a link, but take away one link, and what? The chain is broke. No one is a whole team. Each one is a player, but take away one player, and the game is forfeited. No one is a whole orchestra. Each one is a musician. But take away one musician and the symphony is incomplete. So we leave you with these two thoughts here this morning. First of all, in order to enjoy and be part of all the horizontal blessings of fellowship, this first, we have to be right with God, don't we? We've got to be in fellowship with God. We've got to have that vertical dynamic that I am in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have one mediator, it says, doesn't it? Between God and man, one mediator, and that is the man Christ Jesus, and he's made it all possible. And then, as we have entered into that all dynamic, powerful change in our lives, and we are transformed, God moves us into the fellowship of his people, and then begins a season of continued growth until the Lord comes back or we die, where we grow and we live life together. And yeah, as I said, it's messy. It's we're going to have our feelings hurt. We're going to hurt some other people's feelings. And hope not intentionally, hopefully, but we will. We say things. Sometimes you look at somebody the wrong way, right? You didn't even mean to. You were thinking about something at work. So you know, that relationship, we got to devote ourselves to it, right? We got to work at it. We got to press on in that. If we truly want to grow in our walk with God, we have to grow in our walk with each other, don't we? In order to grow in our walk with God, we grow in our walk with each other. It's so crucial. Let's just pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for each one who is out here this morning. Lord, you know the needs amongst us. You know the needs of those who maybe are not devoting themselves to fellowship, just coming and going as they want and just dipping in a little bit here and there, but truly not committed. And Father, for those who are, we pray that you'd strengthen them and give them the vision of the benefits that you have given us, Father, in our own personal growth and also growth in the lives of others. And then for anyone here this morning, Father, who doesn't know the Lord Jesus, we pray for them that you would truly, truly just draw them with your love, that show them how much that you love them in sending your son, the Lord Jesus. Just thank you for this time. We pray for the remainder of the meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.